and Dialogues, a show that features narratives from everyday people and their journey towards learning a language. I'm your host, Milo Falcone.
On today's show, I have Camila from Cali, Colombia. She works in the mortgage industry. And not only that, but she's also a licensed New York State real estate agent. I hope I got that right. It sounds a little bit like a tongue twister. But you guys know that the New York hustle is real. So Camila also has an Etsy account in which she sells prints. Prints that, of course, she designs. I think that today's segment will resonate with so many of us, mainly because we weren't really born in America or Canada or in an English-speaking country. However, because we were raised in English-speaking countries, we find ourselves having an advantage that perhaps many can connect to. So I hope you really enjoy this. And also, thank you so much for your support in listening to my podcast. Anyways, here we go.
Hi, everyone. My full name is actually Maria Camila, but I tend to go by either MC Camila. I hate Maria, so don't call me that. I was born in Colombia, in Cali, Colombia. I moved here at the age of 6. And, you know, I did all of my schooling here, elementary, middle, high school, college, graduate.
Now, the next question throws a lot of us kind of off track. And it can get pretty tricky. So when I ask Camila where she is from or where does she consider herself from, this is what she had to say.
It's tricky.
Explain further, please.
So if you ask me where I'm from, I'm automatically going to tell you that I'm from Long Island, New York. If you ask me where I was born, I'll tell you I'm, you know, Colombian. If you ask me where I'm from and I'm talking to somebody who's like a Spanish speaker or knows about my heritage, then I will admit to saying, oh, I'm Colombian. My first language is Spanish. That was my first language. But unfortunately, and I guess fortunately, I feel more comfortable with English because Spanish is mostly just spoken at home, but my Spanish is very basic.
What's basic mean? What does that mean? A lot of us, you know, define basic because for some of us are like, oh, I can speak, I can write like a 12-year-old. You know, what does that mean to you?
So to me, that just means that I am able to get in conversation with people. I'm able to communicate with them, but I also speak something called Spanglish. So it's a combination of English and Spanish, so it's not actually true Spanish words that I literally just make them up, or, you know, other people who also speak Spanish and English, we tend to create words. So, like, let's say, printando. That's, like, taking the word print and you're turning it into, like, printing. When it was actually not until, like, recently that I learned that it's not printando, it's actually imprimir. To say print.
That's funny.
Yeah, so there's like some Spanish words that now I feel myself that I'm like more, I mean, I've always considered myself fluent in Spanish, but I feel like I'm more advanced in my Spanish now because of my work. I deal with a lot of Spanish speakers, so I have had to just like Google a lot of words and really just memorize like the correct word so that I don't sound like a fool.
Camila has lived in New York for about 18 years. So I had to ask her if she knew any other language.
I know a little bit of French. I studied French all throughout middle school, high school, and then I stopped in high school because I didn't really have time in college to pick up a language, and I had already gotten college credit from taking AP French, so I didn't need to.
And for those who are not familiar with AP, what is that?
So AP is like a kind of course that is given, I guess. You can take it while you're in high school. It's like a pre-college sort of like course where they literally teach you a course, but it's in like a college level. You learn throughout the year, obviously, and then at the end, like in May, you take a test, and the scores go from 1 through 5. 1 to 2 is just like you really just didn't get the concept. 3, you get college credit from, you know, level from getting a 3 up to a 5. So I thankfully was able to get college credit because I scored a 3. I'm going to be honest about it. It wasn't a 4 or 5, but hey, that's okay.
3 is a happy number, right?
3 is like a happy.
Right in the middle.
Yeah, like right there. Like it's like you know, but you don't know.
You're average.
I'm just average. I'm like right there. But like I listen to French music. Like I try not to forget my French, and I'm still in contact with my French high school teacher. So sometimes when we were communicating with each other, I'll like try to practice my French, and you know, I try to listen to French music. If I hear people listening, you know, talking in French, I'm able to just like pick up some of the words. It's not as it used to be, but it's something.
It's always the case that I ask all of my guests if they think they have an accent, but this answer really threw me off. Listen to this.
For which language?
I have not been told that before. I guess for English, I guess, and for Spanish.
For English, I believe I don't, but there are some words where I, you know, like I said, my first language I consider it to be Spanish. So there's some words that I know because I've read, because I'm like, I love reading. So there's a lot of words that I know, but when it comes to pronouncing them, like, I tend to just like, I'm like not sure. And even though I can Google it, I tend to forget a lot of stuff. So unless I'm using it in like everyday vocabulary, like just like me and you talking, I'm not gonna be able to remember. Yeah, so, but like, I don't think I have an accent.
In English?
In English. I don't believe I have an accent. But maybe if I'm like using specific words, like you'll know that I'm not a complete English speaker, because like, for example, there's some words that I still get confused. Like, the one word that I can think of is like pint. Like an ice cream, you know,
yes,
container, like a pint. I sometimes get confused, or not confused, but I tend to forget what the correct way of saying it, and I end up saying pint, because that's how you spell it. So, so that's like an example, and then from there, like, you'll know, you're gonna be like, English is not your first language, and it's like, yeah, it's not.
Where are you really from?
Correct, but at the end of the day, I don't think I have, like I've been with people who have like a thick Spanish accent when they talk in English, and I don't believe I'm one of those people.
I also want to note that native English speakers can mispronounce things. Anyways, I wanted to ask Camila where she learned English, and this was her journey.
I first learned English when I first moved to the United States. So this was when I was a 6-year-old. So literally the first day of school, I was like thrown into a complete like English speaking class. So when I first moved here, the idea of ESL still didn't exist. ESL didn't become a thing up until I was like maybe in third grade. So when I moved here to the United States, I literally, it was like, you either learn, or you're kind of screwed. So I remember just going in the first day of school, and everybody, like, I kid you not, everybody was just like, they were all like white-looking kids. The teacher was white. She spoke no Spanish. There was only one Spanish girl, and she didn't like speaking Spanish, and she refused to speak Spanish to me. So it made me trying to get you know, more set up in the class, it made it harder for me to like be able to just feel at home or feel welcomed. That's really how I learned. I ended up learning just going to school. And I remember now that I'm like thinking back, I remember that I used to go home sometimes and I would like remember some of the words and like how they were pronounced. And I would ask my mom like, hey, what does this mean? And she would like tell me, because my mom, both of my parents had, mostly my mom, both of my parents had like an idea of English before moving here. Me, on the other hand, I was like completely just like, I had no idea of anything. So now I am the one who translates for them.
That's a full 360 right there, right?
Yeah, completely.
Now, I also wanted to know if Camila had ever been made to feel different because of the way she spoke English, and this is what she had to say.
So, obviously, when I first moved here, you know, I had no idea of, like, the English language. So, like, I had no knowledge of it. I obviously learned it here in school, but I didn't feel different or sort of like completely excluded. I didn't feel like an other up until maybe fifth grade. By that time, I was technically a fluent English speaker, because at that time I already knew English. Like, I knew how to communicate, I knew the verbs, I knew how to create sentences, I knew how to speak English. But it wasn't until I'm trying to remember what the word was, but I remember I said something, and I think that's one of the words where I had no idea how to pronounce. And I said it in a very different way. And the kids in my fifth grade class started making fun of me.
Fifth grade. Okay.
And it wasn't until that moment that I felt different and I felt like I was an other. And I think that's when I started feeling a little self-conscious of how I spoke. And that's when I started Googling the words, and I actually started like listening to the words because I wanted to practice how to say them before I would say them. But as I say now, like, I'm not gonna Google every single word to try to remember how to pronounce it, because I could barely remember people's names. I mean, imagine me trying to remember how to pronounce a word.
I hope you remember me.
But like, I, you know, that was actually like the thing that really pushed me. And I think that's when I started developing, like, public speaking fear. Like, it was weird because I used to be, like, a very, like, spoken kid. Like, I didn't care about anything. And then from there, I felt like I was like, oh, no. Because it made me feel little.
Right.
Because it's like, these are all of your peers, and then they're all making fun of you.
Now, being aware of where you stand linguistically isn't necessarily a bad thing, which was not the case for Camila, since it actually helped her boost and, in other words, improve how she spoke, how she communicated in English. So now I wanted to know how her linguistic abilities were employed at her current job. And these were her thoughts.
So now, right now I work in the mortgage industry. I'm pretty much like a junior processor. I work with a loan officer directly, and I start the loans from the very beginning, and then I close on the deal. Most of our clientele, they're all Spanish speakers. I've noticed now that sometimes it's like my brain gets fried from having to go back and forth with the English and the Spanish, that when I'm speaking to them, I'll find myself finishing my sentences in English. Just like sometimes I'm speaking in English and then I'll like finish the sentence in Spanish because I can't remember what the other word is. Like, I'll have it at the tip of my tongue, but it's like I just like my brain just like it's like all like weird, and it's like it can't comprehend or can't grasp what the translation is. And then I'll just like I'll start speaking in like tongues where like I'm trying to describe what I'm trying to say, but it won't go out. Like, I can't verbally say it. It's like weird. But I noticed that now sometimes because of that, because I find myself speaking more Spanish now throughout the day than English, at the end, it's like I I guess, like, it's not that I forget how to speak English, but it's just that I notice that it takes me a while for my brain to go back to its regular self. I don't know if that answers your question, but it actually made my code switching a lot better, because now I find myself that, you know, I can speak, like, if I know I'm speaking to a Spanish speaker and I'm speaking in English, I'll switch between the words, and then it's cool because it's like you're speaking in sort of like a little, like, hey, it's just kind of like a you and me type of language, and like the people around us are like, what are you guys saying? Because the people around us tend to be like completely Spanish, English speakers. So they'll be like, what? Because they'll understand every other word, but it's like, I don't know. Now it makes me feel cool. But then I wonder if that makes other people feel like they're another. Who knows?
Now, I also wanted to know what language did Camila use when she wanted to express herself, either anger or just sharing her feelings. And this is what she had to say.
English, for sure. Yeah, I feel like I'm, because I have more of a vocabulary in English, so I know how to articulate exactly what I'm feeling. In Spanish, I have to use the sense, like the words that I currently have memorized, but it's not like, I don't read in Spanish, so my vocabulary in Spanish is not up there. So it's not like I can be using these big words because I don't know any of the big words. Sometimes people use big words on me and I'm like, I'm sorry, can you define what that means? Or I'll have to like Google it. Yeah. But yeah, I find myself just thinking of the words in English. And then if I'm talking to my parents, for example, it's like I start using the big words and then I'll have to explain to them exactly what that means, which makes me even more emotional.
Right. Is that exhausting?
It's very exhausting.
It's exhausting to express yourself and having to code switch, because it's easier for you to express in English, but you have to express either emotions or anger or whatever it can be to your parents in another language, in Spanish.
Correct.
I see.
And then I have to define my emotions, and then that makes me even more emotional. Like, it will make me, if I'm angry, it'll make me angrier. If I'm sad, it'll make me sadder. And then it'll make me just, like, not want to talk at all.
It's also very important to note that ESL programs, or English as a second language, weren't necessarily implemented all over the United States. Mostly, these programs were out and about, if you would, in major metropolitan areas. So suburbs such as the ones that exist in Long Island, which I'm not really familiar with, didn't have the funds, or they didn't deem it necessary, which left many kids like Camila, you know, without some sort of, quote, help. But in a sense, I guess it kind of helped, because it helped her strap her boots and move forward, right? So, is it really necessary? You guys let me know.
This is it for this segment. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you.
All right.
This episode was produced by me, Milo Falcone. If you're interested in purchasing and financing a house in New York, particularly Long Island, please contact my guest, Camila. Link below. Music by DJ Young and Luke Rembo. Find their work down below. Until next time.